Host Michael Smith, and I am joined this week by my wonderful co-host.
Hey everybody, you already know who the fuck it is. I'm back. I might be suing my landlord. I went to Scandinavia. It's me, none other than Saul motherfucking Thompson. You can find me on Instagram at Champagne Poppy. What's going on? We're back. Wait. In the podcast studio, we've actually gotten one of the switchboards for ourselves, but it's also nice to be in the studio proper. We've got video here now.
And a ring light.
And a ring light.
And a button that does this.
Obama!
I love the echo. The built-in reverb is really nice.
Obama!
That's the stock reverb. That's just what it sounded like reverb. When he did it.
I understand why they're going crazy. I understand why they go crazy at those rallies. True patriots are in control.
Obama.
Soda! I'm worried that they can hear us outside in the bookstore.
I really hope they can.
We're recording here at PT Knitwear in the Lower East Side. Big shout out to them. Serge is the guy who runs the studio here. He's an absolute OG. Really nice guy. We were the first people to use this podcast studio, which is really cool.
I'm excited for a video podcast if we ever decide to use this, because it means you can see all my awkward fidgeting throughout my little, like, any of the fidgeting I can do that doesn't make noise.
What the dog doing?
I also realized the audio gags will not play as well over the video. We're just sitting there, like, smiling semi-awkwardly as, like, the noise
Obama
plays out. But what's new, Michael? I mean, it's been, what?
What's new is this motherfucking fit check I'm about to do. What's up, guys? Today I'm wearing Doc Martens furry boots, Rick Owens collab. I got some pod shorts on, I got a gigantic gray t-shirt, and I got a whole lot of silver jewelry. And I have this giant wooden chain with me, but I'm not wearing it because it would fuck up the microphone.
Wait, what would, the chain? It just jingle jangle?
Welcome back, everyone, to the Pair of Kings podcast.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the toddler podcast, where we review children's toys.
Hey, guys, today we're going to be playing with Duplo. Duplo, is that what it's called?
Yeah, there's Duplo. That's the knockoff Lego.
Yeah, what's the Lego-sponsored giant Lego? What's the...
Mega Bloks?
No, I think you got it backwards. Mega Bloks is actually not that mega, all things considered. Okay, actually, we need to...
Actually.
We need to talk about this in a second, because I... No, Duplo is official. Do your fit check, and then let me talk to you about knockoff Lego.
Okay, hold on. What the fuck is going on? Ladies and gentlemen, ready for the most mid-fit check of your fucking life? Set to Chief Keef. Bang. We got Momotaro jeans, white sneakers, they're the tennis sneakers. I got an ingrown toenail on my right foot because of them. It's fucking painful. Anyway, we got the Daiwa Pier 39 fishing shorts. I took them fishing in Norway. They fucking performed. 7 catches, 7 mackerel, and a motherfucking cod. Run this back. I'm going again. Anyway, I got on top the gray basic Uniqlo tee. It is so underwhelming, you would be astonished in real life. I have no jewelry. I have no drip. I have no chains. It's just t-shirt, shorts, and fucking like basic ass shoes and Nike socks. That's me. You get mad at that? You don't love Saul Thompson. I've unlocked something with this yeah, chief this key.
This is great. We're going to do this forever. Man, I wish we had a camera on the other side so you could see
people. Oh, you could see all the people, yeah.
As they walk by.
I mean, you could just spin the camera around and, you know, make use of the footage.
Next person who takes a picture of the podcast studio, they're getting on the podcast.
I would love to invite somebody in off the street.
Yeah. I would love to have an outdoor microphone so we could interview them without having to, there's just, like, a little, we turn it up.
Kind of Marie Antoinette shit is this?
Yeah, like, I don't want to talk. I don't want to be in here.
Let them wear fits.
Yeah. Let them wear fits. So there's a big revelation in not quite a revelation yet. Go ahead, hit the button. There's a big revelation, a big coming of age almost in Michael Smith's trajectory.
Okay.
That has actually been ruined by a much worse version of that trajectory. We're going to get to it.
Okay.
Michael Smith, me, formerly hereafter known as me, I am...
the defendant known
as... The defendant. I am staunchly anti-rep.
Okay.
And
now I know what you're talking about.
So the other day, there's this Lego set I really want. Welcome to the toddler children. Welcome to the toddler.
So I was chilling at nap time last night. Let me tell you, that formula hits.
Yo, what is up with the building blocks? All the A's are blue and all the B's are red. You can't find a fucking red A.
Can we have a discourse about the sandbox?
I'm gonna dig a hole to China in the sandbox.
Obama.
I used to think you could do that. All right, so the other day, there's a Lego set that I want. It retired in 2016, because okay. They retire those things, and it retired weirdly early, so no one has it. Hey,
what is the Lego set? Who is that?
That's one of the basket case guys just walked by.
Oh, was it? I didn't see him.
Yeah, that's the guy who was running the pop-up.
Oh, sure.
Anyways, he had on a cool fit.
He did.
Cool ass fit. Had some Geo baskets on. Ignore me. Anyways, so there's this Lego set that retired in 2016 and retired weirdly early. And so it's not very common. And it's if you find a secondhand one or especially if you find a current day someone on eBay selling it, it's $700.
What set is this?
It's you know, you've been to my apartment, you've seen the little Lego city that I have.
A man has fallen into the river in Lego City. Yeah. Yeah.
So I only have two of the buildings from it, but there's 16 of those, and one of them is a bank. And it's...
Sir, there's been a second Lego plane.
So I really want it, but it's sold out, and sure. It's $700, and it turns out, I was looking around, there's companies dedicated to making really good knockoff Lego.
Really?
Really accurate.
I think Lego is really on top of things when it comes to lawsuits, too. They don't play.
Yeah, they probably don't play, but there's so many websites, and it's mostly people in China making... knockoffs that are sold in retail stores there, and then other people kind of just shipping it.
Sorry. Anytime China comes up, I gotta hit the Donald Trump button.
And so I nearly bought a knockoff Lego set.
Do they have master builders?
It's called Lepin. Look up Lepin. L-E-P-I-N. Which is the original Lego. Yeah, so Lepin was one of the original Lego knockoff companies, and they went under, or they got sued into changing their name, essentially.
Oh, I see. So they have
just become the catch-all term.
They have the this is crazy. They have the Ghostbusters car, but it's called Technician Slubin.
Yeah.
M38 B1099 sport car.
So the words on any of it, if you buy any Lepin, anything that comes with words on it is going to say something really funny. The Star Wars plaques all say, staff battle or, some random... Harry Potter says, magician world.
Oh, sick. Okay.
In the Harry Potter font.
Yo, anyways, they got Digimon here? But they actually have it as Digimon.
Well, yeah, that's... Digimon, I don't think, is made by... There's no Lego Digimon.
Oh.
Anyways, I nearly bought this... I'm not going to spend the money right now, but it's like, you know, it's $700 to buy the thing from real Lego, and it's $50 to just get, like, a knockoff of it. And
yeah.
I don't care that much. And so I was like, oh, I'm going to, like, really go against the, like, core tenet of Michael Smith and his, sure. like, you know, anti... reps. And then, while I was considering doing that, I bought fake Rick.
What the dog doing?
He buying fake Rick.
So, yeah, I remember you sent me this text of, you were just walking the street, you're like, this guy has dunks, should I buy them? Like, so, I'm walking in, where were you? You were just, like, in Brooklyn?
I was, so my hallmate, my, like, the guy who lives across from me, texted me a picture of dunks that this, like, that this guy was selling on the side of the road. Like, he just, like, it was a couple blocks from my apartment. He just had, like, a setup of, like, various, like, shoes. For some reason, he had, like, a pair of fake dunks, which I have now researched the fake dunks and also been told by a couple people on Instagram they are, like, the actual good expensive fake dunks.
Oh, they're the Daft Dunks.
They're Daft Dunks.
God, that's so abrasive.
We gotta turn the volume down on that one, I think, and the volume up on this one.
Obama!
Okay, we'll play with it as it goes. It's like a shock collar for a dog, like you leave it up too high. Like hurts him. Fuck.
So I bought fake dunks. I don't plan on wearing them, but I thought it would be the funniest thing to just buy Rick off the guy selling fake shit on the side.
Yeah, it's
of the
a
road.
Funny story at the very least.
They were $80.
You said you got them for $95.
I got them for $87.
But he taxed you on the street?
$87 is less than $95.
No, but you said I got them for $80.
Oh, no, I got them for
$80. Okay.
Oh, so he wanted $90 and I had $87 in my wallet.
Okay.
I was like, I'm $3 short. He's like, yeah, that's fine.
Oh.
I don't know where he got them, because to get Daft Dunks, you have to, like...
It's a pre-order, right?
You have to specifically order them, and it's, like, you have to know what you're getting, and he didn't know what they were.
You ready for some really deep cuts? Before there was Daft, there was one company called Puerhomme, Puerhomme, and they came out, and what they were making that people really wanted were these Saint Laurent Wyatt boots from, like, 2016. I guess, geez, it seems like they're
like a real company now.
No, these are runway looks. Like, you can see they're like knocking off.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like normal ass clothes now. I don't even think it's knockoffs anymore. But after that, they went either under or they got sued, so they stopped. But then the other one that came up was Rion District, and I think what they made, if I have this correct, was the Saint Laurent jeans. That's what, like, they specialized in, like, DO2s and DO1s.
Yeah.
But they also made, like, knockoff Fear of God and a Miri. And I think they're still doing it. Yeah, like, I think that this is the essentials that they're still knocking off. But what I was building to is that Daft, I think, comes from a long line of, like, Korean knockoff companies that were, like, Flavor of the Week knockoffs.
Mm.
Right? So Saint Laurent boots, Fear of God / you know, I guess Saint Laurent jeans. And now I know it's daft.co.kr, I think. If I know that off the top of my head, it's crazy. Oh, I'm like, it could be like a rep history. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, their website does scare me, because I look at all the shit they sell, and like, so I am still.
Oh, their website's like completely burned to the ground. There's nothing here anymore.
Weird. I'm still staunchly anti-rep.
Oh, as am I. Yep. You should buy reps if it's funny.
Yeah. So the thing that I think I've said this at least once in my life, but not as publicly as this, but like, Daft Dunks are like the least weird of the rep things for me, because you're not gonna get them new. If you are, you're giving $10,000 to some dude on Grailed, and you're not paying Rick at all anyways.
What? Yeah, wait, what are they going for at this
Five
point?
To 10,000. So really? 2,000 if they're beat to absolute shit, 5,000 if they're like worn, and 10,000 if they're like brand new.
As a thought exercise, and I've just pulled
every
up
exercise
for,
a thought exercise.
I guess, non-video people, but we could also put this in video. But for audio listeners, I just pulled up, I looked up Milk Dunks. Off the top of your head, how many of these are fake?
Honestly, I had a look through Grailed recently, and yeah, most of them I think are good.
Really?
So there's actually sort of, like, fake dunks. All dunks are fake. But, Daft is the best company making fake dunks.
Correct.
But they intentionally don't put branding on them.
Correct.
So you can't take
can't
a
sue
Daft,
them as fake.
You also can't take a Daft dunk, which is the most passable fake, and put it on Grailed and be like, give me $10,000.
Ready for this one. Rion District used to sell the buttons and I think the zippers separately with the branding on them. So you could buy the knockoff Saint Laurent jeans, and then you could buy the buttons and the zippers, but they still didn't have the leather tag or the chain.
Mm.
And there was another store that popped up to like fill that niche. So you had to like make three orders and put them all together. This is because I really wanted Saint Laurent jeans back in the day.
Oh, so you did this.
I bought two real pairs, one of which was from Grailed, one of which was from maybe eBay.
Yeah.
That might have been fake.
Mm.
And I wore one of them like 6 to 8 times, and I found out they were women's jeans that I was wearing, so they like fit really weird in the butt and stuff.
You found out they were... Shouldn't the fact that they fit weird be the thing that stops you from liking them?
Yeah, but when I first put them on, I was like, oh, they're Saint Laurent. This is swaggy, right? Like, it's got the...
Oh, I look great.
Yeah, like, you know, I'm 145 pounds in my senior year of high school. Like, I can rock these. So I was wearing, like, these horrifically fitting... This is also around the same time that I bought women's... The Vet Champion ones that Lil Uzi Vert wears in the Bad Bougie music video.
You don't have to show me. I believe you.
No, I should show you.
Okay.
So I bought them as well, and they were also women's, and they just fit terribly, but I was so convinced. I was like, yo, I'm just like Lil Uzi Vert, like these guys here. Oh, God damn it.
I know the ones you're talking about.
Yeah. So those are really cool. I gave them to my little sister, and I think she threw them out, which made me really upset. But what was the point I was making? Oh, yeah. No, I was just like a senior in high school, and anything that had like Saint Laurent on it, and I was like, this is my shit right here. And yeah, I just didn't realize that one of the pairs was a women's pair of, I guess, whatever the Dio, whatever is.
This is here. And now, so, I don't know.
Batman couldn't beat that out of me. Shut up. I'll own up to it. I don't know.
We all know you buy and, well, have previously bought and do mm-hmm. currently wear reps.
Yeah, I think those Capitol jeans are the only fake things I own anymore.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think through everything.
Proud of you for that one.
I have fake tabby boots. Yeah, because there's no fucking way I'm paying like $600 for...
You have fake tabby boots?
Yeah, they're like $20-something, $30.
But they're meant to look like Margiela tabbies.
They are. They have the branding. It's just so stupid. I've used them once as a gag, and I wore them once to class, and my friend was like, what the fuck are those? And I busted my confidence. I haven't worn them since. They might
Honestly,
have been like $30.
You deserve that for wearing reps.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, don't wear reps. It's shitty. The labor practices are terrible. It's a horrendous exploitative process that like completely destroys one, labor, but two, environmental safety and regulation. I mean, it's just so stupid.
But if you walk past your local unhoused person selling...
Oh, it was an unhoused person. I thought it was just some dude having like a...
No.
Stoop sale.
No. It was like a guy who, like, had all this stuff in a shop. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, I don't know where they came from. Don't know where they'll go. Where did you come from?
Cotton Eye Joe.
Yeah. I have no idea. So but,
stupid.
Like...
What a dumb gag that was.
It hits every time. I never, like... It's funny. I own them now. I have worn them out once, and I didn't feel that bad about it. But I did feel slightly self-conscious, because I feel like I have a reputation to uphold.
A reputation?
Oh, God. It's actually painful.
It's really loud. I'm gonna lower that. It's really loud.
I deserve that.
Obama!
Oh, fuck. The levels are going to be all over the fucking place on this recording.
Yep. Oh, shit. Is this not in stereo or multitrack?
No, we
explicitly. Oh, fuck.
You said you didn't want
Yeah. All right, whatever. So I went to Scandinavia on a vacation, and I tried to look around, tried to do some thrift shopping. Shout out, I think I met a really nice kid in Copenhagen. His name was Aaron, I think. He's from Oslo. Super nice kid. He recognized me, which was always a weird experience. I was in a coffee shop at like 8 in the morning, and I was just like, somebody just say my name. Super sweet kid. Shout out. I think his name was Aaron. If I'm fucking it up, I'm really sorry. Anyway, shopped around a little bit.
If he's fucking it up, you get to be the next host of Pair of Kings, because I will get rid of him.
Very shamefully, there were some really cool Visvim pieces in one of the stores there that I tried on. And I was like, I don't hate this. I've been an outspoken, maybe not completely outspoken, but an open hater of Visvim for a long time. I mean, partially it's because they've like completely appropriated a lot of Native American like patterns there. Yeah, very unapologetic about it. I think recently they did put out an apology or like acknowledge that it was kind of fucked up. But then also John Mayer loves the brand. I fucking hate John Mayer. I think he's a detestable human being.
It's so funny that his love of that brand is like your hatred of John Mayer is strong enough to bleed over into things he likes.
Oh, I do not associate the people that wear the brands with the brands themselves. I mean, like there are some, you know, without saying names, I think there are some dweebs that wear Yoji, and that's why I don't like that brand right now.
No, I don't let other people's like, I say this a lot, I don't let other people's bad fits affect my good ones.
It's not bad fits, it's
okay,
bad
I don't let
people.
Other people's bad vibes affect my good ones.
That's fair. I mean,
there's so many bad people wearing every brand.
Not Daiwa Pure 39.
That's because no one wears Daiwa Pure 39, Saul. You made that shit up. There's so many, like, every single, especially, like, brand that has hype and that you can get obsessed with has horrible people.
Oh, no. So I don't debate that. I just like, I can go off of what I know and I can make those choices. I just don't want to be like a Yoji guy because Yoji guys that I meet are just like revealed to not be the best people. And John Mayer and just look up like John Mayer Playboy interview.
Well, yeah. We, like, yeah.
That guy sucks. I was at a party. When was it?
John
July
Mayer
4th? No. And
you were at my party on July 4th.
This was the weekend after. Right. Or the weekend before? Weekend before. But, yeah, apparently John Mayer has been, like, touring with the Grateful Dead, which is, like, my least two favorite things come together. I don't know. I'm going to start, like, what do you call it? Spoofing my location to their tour and just, like, getting really aggressive on the internet, hoping people, like, dox that IP and that location out. That's the plan. That's the mastermind strategy to take down John Mayer and the Grateful Dead.
You're trying to SWAT a John Mayer concert.
No, John Mayer and the Grateful Dead.
All right. You're trying to SWAT a John Mayer and the Grateful Dead concert.
Correct, yeah.
Okay, yeah, sounds good. Do it. Go right ahead.
No, obviously, don't do that. I don't like John Mayer. I don't like the Grateful Dead. Don't do that. Don't be a jerk. Don't SWAT people. Easy. I don't know. We're not legally liable for anything we say on this podcast, right? It's humor. It's a comedy podcast.
Do we need to get a lawyer before we continue this?
But I was in Scandinavia and I tried on some Visvim stuff, and I'm ashamed to admit that I really liked a lot of it. I don't know. They got like a lot of like fisherman knits, which is like right up my alley, and they've got some like pretty nice shoes, although they made my feet look really small. They've got, I don't know what they are. They're like a penny loafer, but they've got like a double sole on them. But I tried them on and my feet look like a size 5. And I love the shoes sort of from a distance. But then putting them on, my girlfriend was like, you look like you're wearing children's shoes. You have to take those off. I'm not letting you buy those.
Little tiny feet.
Yeah. They're like, I think this is it. But they're nice.
Those
like,
are good, but also you could get a million other brands.
Oh, for sure. No, but I mean, my opinion of Visvim is quite low at the moment. And I think a lot of that is tainted by my detestable view of John Mayer.
You're saying the view is detestable?
Well, John Mayer doesn't dress well.
No,
he was in like those like Yeezy season 4 outfits. and shit.
Oh, I'm not saying he dresses well.
Oh, no. He also sucks as a person. And his music is ass. So what has he got going for him?
Money.
And no, he's touring with the Grateful Dead. You couldn't give me any amount of money to tour with the Grateful Dead. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Grateful Dead.
And John Mayer.
And John Mayer. Thank you so much to, I don't know, Big J, whatever his nickname is. But it was really interesting. I mean, you get this in any city in the world. But walking around in Stockholm and Copenhagen, I was pretty taken aback at how well the, like, average person seemed to dress.
Mm.
You know, like, dads were wearing, like, pretty well-cut khakis and, like, clean shirts. Kids were, I wouldn't say there was anything, like, garish. Like, I didn't see anybody in Rick or anything like that, but I'd say, like,
then how can you say they dressed well?
The average level of dress was higher than it is here, especially from, like, people who aren't, like, fashion adjacent. Like, you know, guys are walking by the studio right now who are just, like, you're tech bro or your investment banker bro, and I would say, like, the level of fashion there was higher.
People always say the same shit about New York. They're like, people, like, put intention into their outfits here.
But it's a bell curve, because it's not even a bell curve, it's like a weird logarithmic graph where you have, like, the it's like an inverse. It falls off really hard is my point. Like, the people who try and the people that put effort into it and try and look good, even, like, effortlessly, do look really cool. Like, walking around the city, I was up at Columbia today. I had an interview at a lab there. Shout out Porous Rocks.
Shout out. Yo.
There was a...
Gotta give a big fucking shout out to Porous Rocks.
Yo, what the fuck is good Porous Rocks? Yo, shout out Basalt. Shout out Granite. Shout out Ocean Ash. I don't fucking know. I'm still learning. That's why I want to work in the lab.
Shout out Volcanoes. Shout out Volcanic Rock.
Shout out the chemical weathering procedure. We see you. Keep
shout
shining.
Shout out the fucking Grand Canyon. Shout out the river that fucking formed the Grand Canyon.
Yo, what the fuck is good, Pompeii? Come back. Yo. Reunion tour.
Yo, Mount St. Helens, hit me up. This episode brought to you by Porous Rocks.
This might be one of the better gags we've ever had. But, oh, I saw a guy who was just working on the campus, like a groundskeeper. He had, like a weed whacker, but he was in, like, blue polo, like Columbia blue, jeans that matched Ferragamo belt and Ferragamo loafers. I was like, this guy's going nuts.
Wait, he was doing...
Tucked in shirt into the Ferragamo belt. He was killing it. He had kind of, like, the Adam Sandler vibe from Uncut Gems.
Okay.
Uncut Gems. Where he had, like, glasses on, but they weren't, like, gold or anything. You know, they're, like, thin frame glasses. I don't know if glasses vernacular. But, like, slick back hair, Ferragamo belt, Ferragamo loafers, and just, like, killing it in some... they might have been blue slacks, but it was crazy. He went so crazy.
What was he doing?
He was walking around with a weed whacker.
That's so sick.
Right? Like, so I think the people that... It's weird. It's like that horseshoe, right? Like, the people that try really hard in New York do it well, but it almost ends up at the point of, like, comedy where you can try too hard. But then there are people that don't try and they, like, bleed back around into, like, dressing extremely well.
Which one was that guy?
I don't think he was trying hard at all. I think he just showed up to work and was like, yeah, I'm going to throw on my Ferragamo belt and look
fresh as shit.
You think
he's just built like that?
Yeah, oh, I think he was absolutely built like that.
That's so tight. Was he buff?
No, he was like, he had, like, perfectly tucked in, like, perfect line, like.
In my head, he's just, like, jacked. He's bursting out of that.
There was a really nice security guard or policeman, also, fuck the police. He was a security guard who worked at Yale. His name was William.
Fuck the police.
Yeah. No, I just, like, I don't know. I don't want to speak well of any police officer, but he, yeah. I don't know. He was a nice guy.
$60,000 in cheese puffs.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. But his name was William. He's a really nice guy. And he would show up in, like, not chrome hearts, but, like, the same sort of, like, adorned sunglasses. And I would see him every morning. I knew where he worked. He worked at the base of Old Campus. And I would see him on my morning runs.
He had, like, Punisher skull glasses on?
No. Like, fuck. What? It was, again, like, those Uncut Gems, like, gold-rimmed, like, probably, like, Ferragamo or something. And he always had a fresh belt on, had always, like, really nice, like, shine loafer shoes. And every morning I'd run out, and he was gone by the time I'd get back because I'd go on a run for, like, 45 to an hour. he must have worked like 7 to 8 or whatever, or like 5 to 8. And every morning we'd dap each other up. I'd be like, oh, I see you, William. Like, nice sunglasses. Like, you're killing it today. And he'd be like, keep shining. And he said that every morning for like 2 years.
And you kept shining for those 2 years.
No, I was like super, super anorexic and depressed. He kept me going. Shout out, William. I didn't see him for like my entire junior and senior year. He might have gotten like transferred or like gone to a different college. Like, Yale has different residential colleges. Oh, talk about Yale.
By the way.
By the way, I went to an elite Ivy League university in Connecticut. Shout out trust funds. Shout out yachts. Shout out J Press. What's going on, New Haven? Hello, Cambridge. Oh, you don't go to... Oh, you will go to Cornell? We don't count that as a real Ivy. You're not a member of the Yale Club. Stop listening to the podcast, you fucking bum. Oh, you're not working at Morgan Stanley? No, JP Morgan Chase, no. Oh, stop listening to this podcast. It's not for you. Is that good enough?
I really wanted to join in on that one, but you took that one home. Mm-hmm. You really did that.
I tried.
I went upstate a couple weeks ago.
Congrats.
Thank you. Yeah. That's it.
No, all the photos look so fun. I went, like seeing rainbows and shit.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Man, tell you what, rainbows. I went upstate. what's the deal with... I went upstate. I'll get through this fucking story if I have to. Anyways.
No one's forcing you.
Shut up. If I have to... Whatever. I quit, man.
What the dog doing?
No, I went upstate. And I went canoeing, and I've never been in like a paddle boat of any sort.
Okay.
And I was in there, and I was like, so I've always thought that rowing is the coolest collegiate sport you could possibly do.
Okay.
But it's also the worst. Like, you have to be like in an Ivy, like that's a fucking Ivy League sport.
There are some really good, what is it? UCSF or UC Berkeley is like one of the better rowing programs in the country right now.
So
shout out Gus Rodriguez. He's nasty. He's trying out for the Olympic rowing team. I think
he's nasty with the oars.
Yeah, no, he's really nice. He's so cool. His dad rowed crew in the Olympics and won silver in like 1986, and now my friend Gus is doing it as well. Or trying to. He's so cool.
I was just like out there. I was like, damn, I wish I could just like, rowing is sick.
Yeah.
Something about rowing is really tight and I want to do that for a living.
What, like the primal urge to like man a longboat?
The masculine urge to just like move things in circles. Fuck, man.
Welcome back to the Toddler Podcast.
You ever just like rotate objects?
So I was lying in my crib the other night, and there's this thing above. There was this red pony on a string just going around. I swear, like 4 or 5 hours was riveting. Have you seen this? Are you seeing this?
No. Look. It's fucked up. You can fit the cube through the square hole.
I've been thinking about this.
And you can fit the ball through the square
hole. The square cube.
But you can't fit the cube through the ball hole.
It's really fucked up. I've tried it sideways. I've tried it upside down. I've tried eating it, you know, to make it smaller. I've tried chewing on it, but you just can't do it.
Why doesn't it work?
Why aren't people talking about this? rowing's really cool. Back when I really don't want to compliment Rowing Blazers, the company, by talking about Rowing Blazers, the thing.
Oh, like Rowing Blazers.
Rowing Blazers official. Like what they used to wear in the Ivy League to like Henley and things like that is really cool, right? Yeah. Like, I don't know, like Trad Ivy.
You got to be saying that in the Yale voice right now.
Oh. If you talk it back, right, if you track the history of Tank Ivy and Henley, the prestigious rowing tournament between Harvard, Yale, and Dartmouth every year, it's actually got quite an illustrious past in the history of fashion. However, recently, now, this abomination of a brand, I hesitate to even call it a brand. I don't know, like Rowing Blazers is doing stuff with Target now, which is just like... I don't know, like, what the fuck
some
happened?
Some brands that I have a lot of...
Some well-respected people. in the fashion world are now doing like deals with like H&M and Zara.
Yeah. Well, so some
I'll never fault a person for getting a bag, by the way. Go get a bag.
Yeah, there's some like crazy money to be got from like H&M influencer reach out. As long as it's not Shein. The fucking the like Shein whitewashing affair.
I don't think we can draw the line at as long as it's not Shein. That's like being like, true. All right, kill those people. Just like, don't let me see it.
It's not that like, there's just a difference between like, not that I'm saying both are like one of them is good, but there's a difference between like being in an H&M ad campaign and making propaganda videos for Shein about how they're
Obama.
About how they're
Obama.
About how they're like, you know, people just need to do their research. I'm an
Oh, that was the worst. Shein let us in and let us see for ourselves. Like, all right, so just to address this.
You're arguing against stuff I saw with my own eyes.
I did a lot of research because I was like, I was planning like a TikTok series where I would just talk about like how bad fast fashion is. But I was like, does anybody really need that? Like, we know, right? Like, it's bad. There was an independent audit that Shein brought in, right? So they brought it on themselves to do a survey of their own working conditions, workers, and factories. And something like, I don't want to get the actual number wrong and just like start spouting off nonsense. I'd say a significant amount of their production is done at small, probably under five people factories, usually in homes, without proper ventilation, without escape, you know, like fire escapes, anything like that, without breaks, and there's usually little to no oversight. They just give them like a thing of textiles and they say, we need this many by this date, and if you don't do it, like, you're not getting fucking paid. They're paying these, it's usually women, pennies on the dollar, obviously terrible working conditions, no sort of benefits, no sort of like time off. The second they're done, they're like given more. And a lot of the, I hesitate to say garments, a lot of the clothes are like brought around wherever they're being produced on like the backs of bikes, you know. It's not like a clean cut factory system.
Yeah.
And it's pretty crazy the amount of like media literacy, especially within fashion, where we're all aware that like a lot of the stuff is made in really shitty conditions. Like, people were buying into it. And I'm not necessarily saying that like everybody believed it. Yeah. I think a lot of people are like smart enough to be like, oh, like that's fucking bullshit. But I think, again, there is a significant audience for fashion that you and I don't consider.
Yes.
You know, sort of like the layperson.
A bunch of people saw that Shein tour video and were like, oh, finally, I don't have to feel bad about... And
exactly.
They didn't check back ever again.
Yep.
There was just a... I checked the comments on it before it got... On like quite a few of those.
They took them all down.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they all got deleted. And I do wonder if the bag got taken away.
Probably not.
So I looked at the comments in a bunch of those videos and there were like, you know, I mean, most of it's like, you're fucking stupid. Like, clearly that's not an actual like...
Dumbass motherfucker.
Like, fucking... No.
Shout out unsafe working conditions. Shout out terrible labor. Shout out child labor.
Shout out triangle shirt waist factory.
Yeah, shout out triangle shirt waist factory. Those kids yearn for the mines. Put them on the fucking sewing machines. Put them on the hand looms. Don't give them ventilation. Get that fucking cotton dust into their fucking lungs. They want it. Listen, they get a bag. Get a bag. Why are you mad? Get a fucking bag.
We're gonna get canceled.
Oh yeah, this is gonna be terrible.
A bunch of people like went, watched that video and were like, oh yeah, you know, now I can keep buying Shein and not have to worry about it.
Guilt absolved.
Look at that nice factory that every single garment I own is made in.
Yeah.
They're cutting each of those patterns individually. There is one lady using one pair of scissors to cut every individual pattern.
Yeah.
And I bought that for $3.
Yeah. I think, and again, we talk about this every couple of episodes, but the expectation of accessible fashion is, it's like an oxymoron, right? Like, people all the time, to draw a similar thing, you can cook your food at home, right? Like, you can save money, go out to the grocery store, you can get all the materials, you can cook it yourself, and it will be cheaper than a meal you go out and get, right?
Yes.
For the most part.
Yes.
Not always, right?
Yeah,
you can buy better ingredients, whatever. But if you go out to a restaurant, somebody professional is going to make it for you, and generally going to be more expensive, especially in a city. And it's interesting, or at least remarkable, that the divorce of the action of creating something for somebody else, right? Rather than a restaurant, it just necessarily being in the other room in the restaurant. It's coming from across the world, where I think a lot of the terrible conditions, like abusive people, is just sort of lost, literally in translation, or I guess in shipping times in the global supply chain. But it's pretty ridiculous that the expectation that clothes should cost $2 to $3 and not have some sort of severe negative aspect. Like, it's ridiculous. If I said, all right, Michael, here's dinner for $3, don't ask too much about what you're eating, like, you'd be like, fuck no, I'm not eating this, right? But if I put a shirt that's $3 in front of you, I'm like, oh, here's a shirt, you'd be like, oh, great, cool. Maybe not you, but, you know, again.
Is this Rick Owens?
Sorry, is this Balenciaga? But I was talking to, again, at that July 4th party, I was talking to some friends of friends, and I was like, hey, out of curiosity, they were asking, because I had a fashion podcast, they're like, what do you talk about? And I was like, oh, just clothes in general. We try and keep it pretty open-ended. But out of curiosity, like, what do you guys wear, right? Like, you guys are going shopping for clothes. Where do you go and get it? Where are you buying it? And shocking number of guys said Shein.
That's crazy.
I didn't even know Shein had stuff for men. Genuinely.
It's weird because I know that... sorry. It's weird because I know that Shein is super popular.
Yeah.
And I know that they're, like, a really frequently bought brand.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know a single person who buys it.
So, again, like, I don't know many people. But I have, like, friends of... And these are guys who are, like, not strapped for cash. Like, a lot of them work in software development. A few of them work in investment banking. One or two are consultants. And one of the consultants buys his... like button-down shirts or his polos from Shein because they're like $6. He's just like, yeah, like, I don't know. Like, they're good and I can get them and they show up the next day and they're not expensive and I can get 10 of these shirts that I can just like throw out whenever they... I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I genuinely... I'm not trying to pass any judgment because, you know, again, people can make their own decisions. Shein has a whole section called work. I just opened this up. But like, this is... Manfinity mode. Is their in-house brand.
Infinity mode.
But again, like, it's pretty ridiculous the mentality of, like, again, back in the day, like, even investment bankers or consultants or whatever it is, like, you'd go and you'd buy, like, a nice suit from a tailor because you want it to look nice. But, you know, again, it's like, I just need the Manfinity mode men plus solid pocket patch shirt, $16, 5% off through Shein Club, and I'm going to get 10. Like, it's interesting, especially that, again, like, even suiting, and I think it's a whole different discussion. I'm getting a little bit distracted. My point was this, like, I think the groups of people you and I run with don't necessarily brush up against it. And I think how common it is has really gotten lost on us, and how common it's becoming is really getting lost on us. My little brother, I think, is buying stuff, or at least looking at stuff from Shein. He's like, oh, where should I buy clothes from work or for work? And I was like, oh, like, you go to Brooks Brothers, you can go to Suit Supply. Like, I don't want to scare my brother off. Like, go get Tom Brown, Gus. Like, no, like...
Your brother's name is Gus?
His Samuel August. He goes by Sam. I knew him as Gus for like 18 years. So to me, he's Gus or Baby
Such
G.
Biblical names in your family.
Yeah, Samuel. Well, Beatrix was like my great grandmother. But damn. Solomon, David, Samuel.
I got a biblical name, I guess. I just got the most boring possible biblical name.
John as well.
John.
You got a podcast full of biblical names.
Yeah, real biblical podcast. We talk about the Bible. We love the Bible. Shout out to
Corinthians! That's the rest of my Bible knowledge. I know Exodus, Corinthians, and Leviathan.
Are those in the Jewish Bible?
No, those are... oh, God. What are the books of the Torah? I think it's just the Torah. It's probably not. I'm a terrible
Jew. Sorry for saying the Jewish
Bible. Oh, it's Bereshit, Shemot, Vayikra, Bemidbar, and Devarim, which in the English Bible correspond to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Yo, Deuteronomy is crazy.
She Deuteronomy.
What went on at Bible camp? Oh, she Deuteronomy.
Just... God. This is a bad episode.
Yeah, I'm having a great time. But I was talking to them, and genuinely, I would love to have, like, guy who is into fashion but not in the sphere that we are on the podcast, just to see, like, I don't want to shame them. I don't – it's their own personal decision. I just want to hear about where they see fashion content and how do they decide what to buy and interact with.
I am always super curious about, like, there's instruct – well, so male fashion advice, the Reddit.
Yeah.
Recently, like, you know, Reddit protests shut down. Mm-hmm. Moved to a Discord. The Discord's quite interesting. There's 7,000 people in it.
Damn. Okay.
Because before Reddit, like, strong-armed the Discord away from the mods, it was they opened it up again. They kicked all the mods.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Before that, there was like it just led to a page that redirected you to join the Discord and just like, hey, do you want to, like, you know, come talk here? Mm-hmm. They've got a Discord that's set up like a forum, which is really interesting. Like, it has like threads and like there are it's really there's a bunch of new Discord features that basically make it like Reddit adjacent.
Sure.
It's really, really I don't even know how to say it. Like, eye-opening is a weird way to put it. Okay. Humbling is a weirder way to put it. But, like, it's really interesting that I'm now, like, in a chat with a bunch of people who are, like, just trying to figure out how to dress normal.
Yeah.
And, like, they they just, like, you know, they have two t-shirts that look like almost identical, and like they're like, you know, which one of these, like, what's the slight difference here and what do I want? And like, they, you know, a shirt that's like a little wide and they're like, I'm not used to oversized and I'm a little scared of this. And like, there's a guy who like posted himself in like red chinos and he's like, I got some crazy pants. And it's like, I don't know how to say that without sounding like,
no, I think you and I run in very different circles, and again, like, I own red shorts, but like, what we consider normal and not normal is definitely shaped not only by what we wear, but by the people we hang out with.
Yeah, it's just like, so I'm obviously desensitized, and it's just really interesting to me to like put into perspective how I look to other people.
Yeah, no. It's
interesting to talk to all these people who have like no idea how to just like put on like jeans and a t-shirt in like an appealing way.
But at the same time, like, so I have 2 points here. I'll come back to, I guess, the one you were talking about, like how I look to other people. But a very good friend of mine was like, hey, I am getting rid of a lot of clothes. Would you help me like find some stuff to wear? And like, you know, where should I go for clothes? And I asked him, like, what are you looking to spend? What do you want to buy? He was like, oh, like jeans and t-shirts. And so I was like, okay, so there are a couple of different avenues you could go. You could look for vintage pair of Levi's, which is like great jeans. I wouldn't buy the new ones. French Bulldog is going crazy. You could do that. You could try selvedge denim, which is probably a little bit more expensive. He was like, how expensive? And I was like, oh, like maybe $300, but you probably wouldn't get a $200 pair. He was like, holy shit, that's a lot for jeans. And again, it like snapped everything into perspective pretty quickly, because like the way I see it, I'm going to spend, what is a pair of new full count denim, or, you know,
$300.
God, they were like $225.
Well, $300 in America, $200 if you order them from Japan, whatever it is.
So again, it like, you know, I'm like, okay, like if I wear those jeans every day for 2 years, like fuck yeah. Like, you know, they'll fade in. They'll look great.
Your cost per wear goes way down.
Yeah. My CPW. No, but I'm not even thinking about it like that. But I think the way in which a lot of guys especially want to wear clothes is stuff that fits them well, makes them look good or not. I think a lot of guys are self-conscious about their bodies. I just don't necessarily think it's as common to talk about, you know, with other guys, especially with like steroid culture and this fitness. Do you get a lot of fitness related stuff on your like Instagram and whatnot?
I mostly get denim and Lego.
Okay. I got like targeted because I've turned off my microphone and my camera on Instagram, so it has like a hard time pinning of like what I'm paying attention to. That's tight. And so I get like women fitness influencers, which go into like the men steroid influencers, and like cooking videos, which is like great. Like, keeps me off of reels. But My point was, I think that a lot of guys just want to wear stuff that doesn't make them look fat, is easy to wash and like take care of, and they don't necessarily have to like think a lot about. Like dark wash jeans, light wash jeans, black pair of jeans, white t-shirts, black t-shirts, and like you're set.
Yeah.
But again, I think there is, I mean, there's a lot of marketing done to men. There's, what's the name of those shirts that they're like, oh, these are, you know, it's tight around your arms and shoulder. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I think my company worked with them at some point.
Oh, fuck, what are they called? It's not Faded Glory. I don't know why that popped in my head. I'm just going to look up t-shirts for men.
True Classic?
No. Oh, I think it is True Classic, actually. Hold on.
True Classic Tees?
Yeah. But again, like best high quality, soft, slim fitting shirts. Like, again, that's what a lot of guys want, is to just like have their body look good, not necessarily worry about it. It's probably easy to take care of, fairly cheap. Like, that's it. And they're not looking to stand out or have it serve as like a conduit for their personality or whatever it is. But getting into it, it's something that I struggled with when I was first dating my girlfriend, because, you know, like I dress, I wouldn't even say like that garishly or that differently, but I think to her mom and to her, it wasn't necessarily like what you should wear when you meet somebody's parents for the first time. I just didn't see it as a big deal. And I think, you know, some people are more...
What was your first meeting the parents outfit?
I was wearing like jorts and like a tie-dye shirt and like Birkenstocks. We had just come from the beach, in my defense.
What should it have been?
I don't know, like even jeans and a white shirt. Just something like not, you know, your daughter's dating like a hippie, right? Like, but again, like I wouldn't say I necessarily like fought against it, but I was really defensive because I was like, oh, like one, I just don't think that much about it. Like it's just clothes and they're just like, you know, whatever. But part of me was like, no, like again, for a lot of people, you almost like don't want to stand out and you don't want it to make any sort of point. You just want to be able to like not necessarily draw that attention to yourself. It's interesting. I think it's a very different approach to fashion, and one that you and I guess don't necessarily brush up against, or, you know,
it's semi-related. It's always like, it's interesting to me that you brought up that like food metaphor earlier.
Yeah.
This is a thing that I always used to, like people, like a Rick Owens like double layer shirt is like $400, and a bunch of people were always like, oh, that's like a plain white t-shirt. Like, why the hell would you spend $400 on that? I could get a four pack of those for like, but those same people also understand like a McDonald's burger and like a steak do the same thing, but there's like a something specific. You know, there's like people who are willing to spend a ton of money because they want something specific.
Yeah.
But it never translates over to clothes for so many people.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's definitely a changing, I would just say, expectation of the consumer, where you want access to everything, you want it cheap, and you don't want to have to like work for it. Like Uber Eats is my example. Like when Uber Eats was in its heyday, when delivery was like 99 cents or whatever the fuck, and there was no service charges, like I reached every day. It was great, right? Like, get a full dinner. I could be full for like $19. You know, like food, drink, side, bang. Right? That's like pretty expensive food, but delivery costs are like $3. Great. But now you go on Uber Eats and delivery costs are $7-$8 plus service fee plus tip, you know, whatever it is. And on principle, I'm like, I'm not ordering through Uber Eats anymore. Like, I don't want a hamburger and fries to cost me $32. I'll go and walk and I'll get the nicer, you know, I'd rather go and get a nicer hamburger and have them charge me $32 at a restaurant than pay $32 for a $20 burger.
Right.
My point is, with clothes, right, it's like the Rick Owens tee could be the $32 hamburger and the, you know, four pack of white tees could be the Uber Eats one. It's just necessarily like, again, doesn't align perfectly, but I think that there is an expectation that you should be able to have everything you want in front of you for cheap. And unfortunately, that's just not how things work. I think it's something that I had to like come to terms with when I was trying to like wear Tom Brown. And even like when I tried to wear Rick or Saint Laurent, like wasn't cut for me. It was too expensive. I didn't like paying it. You know, whatever it is, I just like couldn't justify it.
You're basically saying if you want cheaper, nicer clothes, you have to work a little more.
Yeah.
Well, your clothes are either going to be, you know, two of the three.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you can have the trifecta. It just takes time, right? Yeah. But, like, I guess time is the third one. It's what? Like, cheap, cool, or not cool, but, like, cheap, atypical? Or, like, what you really want?
I don't even know if we can, you know, you can't formulate everything.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, you have to sacrifice something. And unless you put in a lot of time, which I guess is something in or onto itself, it takes a lot to find cool shit.
Yeah.
For cheap. And, you know, I think that a lot of people who are into fashion, probably a lot of the people that listen to this podcast, you, I, John, have a story where it's like, oh, I found this like really cool thing for super cheap, right? Like, John is Kiko Asics. For me, I don't even know what it would be. I found like that Saint Laurent Moon Landing jacket for super cheap. I traded for it, and I technically got it for super cheap. But everybody has a cool story like that. It just takes time. And again,
I like, have, like only cool stories like that.
Yeah,
it's the only way I can buy.
But again, like it takes time and it takes dedication. It takes knowledge. You have to go and look places. I remember when Yuke's was like super gate kept. I guess now it sort of still is.
People think Yuke's is fake.
Yeah, it does look like a weird website.
It's like, I saw some guy made like, you know, he tried to make like helpful, like here's websites you can use if you want cheap stuff.
And for fashion or like for fashion, fashion? Or
yeah,
like,
yeah. For like, he was like a Rick guy, I think. Okay. And he put down Yuke's. And one of the really funny comments was like a grind harder one. It was like, it's like that shirt's supposed to be $300. If you're getting it for like 50, there's it's like probably not as... I'll just completely fucking missed throwing a bottle into the trash can.
It's a huge bottle.
It's so loud. Why did... Yeah. anyways. Some guy commented like, oh, that shirt's meant to be $300. It's going to be so much worse if you get it for less. Or like, he's like, there's a reason it's like being sold for cheap there. It's because it's like, you know, I like to tip my retail sales associate.
Could you just answer a quick question for me? What do they say when they spin the iPad around?
At the Rick Owens store, and they're handing you the iPad, and 20 is automatically selected, 20% tip. No, like, so many of the comments, a majority of the comments were like, yo, Yuke sells reps. Like, what are you doing?
Huh.
Not even that they think it's a fake website. They think that Yuke's is straight up selling reps.
Yeah, I mean, there are some, like, weird looking, like, Vestiaire Collective, like, doesn't work, looks like shit.
I think like, I think there's two things at play here. I think at least on multiple occasions, someone has probably bought shit from Yuke's and returned a rep.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. And then they send out the rep.
And then they send out the rep because it's all a huge thing and no one knows what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But also...
new system unlocked. Tap in. Yuke's scam method. Buy those fake dunks. Buy those fake Ricks. Send them right back. They don't care. They got profit. They got margins, right? They don't give a shit. You're smarter.
What that shit looks like?
Yeah, they're smarter. You're smarter than them, right? Why not, right? Just take advantage of them. Do this to your local retail store. Do this to Grailed. Scam people. Chargeback method. If you have an American Express, you can turn something for any reason within 60 days.
Nothing we say can be used against us in a court of law. This is not legal advice. This is not financial advice. Do not do this.
Do this.
You'll
do this.
Get
it's
your
really
shit
cool.
Rocked. Do not do this.
Yeah, no. A lot of these big corporations do not play. About
they will
their,
not fucking. Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll get away with that once.
Yep.
Is
it really worth it?
Nah. Anyways.
I think that's mail fraud, isn't it?
It's
like a
fraud.
Felony.
Yeah, that's a big old felony.
Yep.
What's
the minimum charge for mail fraud?
So that's happened for sure. And then
up to 20 years in prison. Ooh.
That's sick.
For the Ricks?
For some fucking sample Ramones that say like Big Jesus on the front or something. Whatever fucking bullshit he was writing on the Ramones that season that never
piss
made the
cunty.
Cut. Piss cunty. Shit wizard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so
Shit Wizard. Shit Wizard would go hard. You know how they did the headbands? I'd go hoop in a Shit Wizard headband. That'd be fresh as shit.
I want the urinal shirt so bad. Or the yellow one that says piss.
Yeah. Yeah, those are great. If you see any of the headbands, even if they're cooked, I want like the...
You want a piss headband?
I want. Yeah, don't they have urinal as well?
I think they have urinal
headbands. Yeah, I would go hooping in a urinal headband.
He hooping in the urinal headband.
I just think it's funny. If you could, like... I've always said this. If I was a superhero, regardless of my superpower, my name would be Razzmatazz, because nobody would want to say that they got cooked by a guy named Razzmatazz, right?
Razzmatazz?
Razzmatazz.
Razzmatazz?
No, Razzmatazz.
Razzmatazz.
Correct.
Razzmatazz.
Razzmatazz, yeah.
Razzmatazz.
No. You're saying it too slow. Razzmatazz.
Not the double.
Obama.
So the other reason people think Yuke's is fake, back on track here,
yep,
is they sell a lot of samples.
Yeah.
Like
they get
all the runway samples and all of the press samples and all of the just like didn't even fucking make the cut samples. Yeah. They get so much horrible, ugly shit. Especially like they get really bad Rick samples.
Yeah.
That Rick himself does not want out there.
So again, like, why wouldn't he just not?
I think they stopped the policy. So they used to. There was up until like 2021. They used to send every sample, and you know, I don't. It's like a, you know, it's a corporation. I don't know if he makes a decision on what the like where the duds go.
Yeah.
So every weird, and you could. It was really actually cool because you could sort of trace. Between seasons, like the you know last season's shit would be coming out when this season was like showing on the runway or whatever.
Yep.
You could sort of trace the like the evolutions he made between the last season and this one. He like made a garment from this season, but it has weird like features or like material or cut that's in this season, and so it kind of like you can watch it sort of wind its way, and you can also see some of the like you know he had a vague idea what he was doing here, but this is a really ugly. Like execution of it.
Yeah.
And
you saw the vision.
Yeah, so like it's really interesting to see that, but it also means that a bunch of like really weird shit that shouldn't be on Yuke's was on Yuke's. And you, if you don't know what a sample tag looks like, because they look completely different from
they look fucked.
A mainland one, a Rick sample tag is very specific, and they don't look fucked. They look
I was saying sample tags in general. Like, I've gotten, like, handwritten ones that are just, like...
That's, like, runway samples.
Yeah.
Rick production samples.
Oh, they're production samples. Sorry, went over my head.
They actually just have the same tag style that Rick used up until 2016.
It's 2015. Good
it's
try.
It's 2016. It's Mastodon. It's Fall Winter 16 Mastodon. It's the season that he bought his factory and changed the name from Omar and Murta to Owens Corp. And they used the Honey Dip labels, and they also made the newer, silkier tags. Don't you fucking play me.
What the dog doing?
Shout out Omar Yurtseven.
Shout out Omar and Murta. Shout out Owens Corp.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so the...
production samples look super fucked.
Production samples, sometimes they're great. Like, I have a lot of production samples of shit that are either just totally normal, but they have the wrong tag, or there's, like, some strange variation, or just the sizing is off.
Sure.
And they're totally fine. And Yuke's is cool, and Yuke's is really good for that stuff, and you should buy a lot of stuff on Yuke's, because no one from far away, or no one even up close is going to be like... Oh, are you wearing a runway sample Dirt Little Joe jacket and not the actual production one? Shut your fucking mouth.
If anybody ever does that, just crack them in the face. They're probably not outside.
No one's gonna do that. No one
actually. Okay,
talks shit on the internet.
Going back to like rep culture, I remember back. This was like 2015. It's probably later. Probably 2016. I keep walking this back. The biggest like anxiety was like, have you ever gotten called out? Like,
yeah, like
nobody fucking knows what Saint Laurent is. But now people know, like fashion kids know what Rick is.
They just know that if I see you in fake Rick, I know that it's there, but I'm not gonna talk to you about it.
It's on site. Michael will fight you. Listen the fuck up.
No, I don't have
to. You gotta go through it. Why not?
If I see you in New York and you're wearing fake Rick, I don't give a fuck what it is. I don't care if it's a fucking t-shirt.
Don't come in his city.
Geo baskets. I don't care if it's dunks. I don't care if you got the Daft fucking dunks on. Even if I'm wearing fucking Daft dunks, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, he's gonna kill you.
It's on site.
Yeah, he's gonna fucking kill you.
You are going to die.
Yep, he will murder you.
I will not kill you.
Why walk it back? Double down.
I'll kill you twice.
I won't say anything, but if you talk to me, I'll laugh.
Hey, Michael, how are you?
Hey, aren't you that guy on that? Shut the fuck.
No, it is crazy though. I mean, it, just in general, one, the number of reps, but two, samples are really cool. I find one of my crazy stories I was really proud of. Probably have to sell it now because it's too small. But I have a Prada runway sample of like a shirt that they did in like 2015 or 2014 that looks like the carpet from The Shining. It's That's not the same cool. color. It's blue and it has like the Prada logo on it. And I got it for like 60, 70 bucks on Grailed.
That's tight. What's it made of?
It's some sort of blend. It's like kind of starchy, but it's not starch.
Tight.
Yeah. I mean, you could have it if you'd like.
Blue.
Shit.
Blue.
Blue and white.
Blue.
You're not a blue guy?
I fucking hate blue.
Don't you have dark blue jeans?
No.
Weren't you like a, you were a selvedge denim guy.
Right. I was.
They say they miss the homie, girl, don't tell me.
I was a selvedge denim guy, and now I'm not.
When we were in Stockholm, we went to the ABBA Museum.
Where were you?
When we were in Stockholm, we went to the ABBA Museum. It was really cool.
Apple Museum for apples or for...
ABBA.
ABBA. ABBA Museum for the band or... Anyways.
What the dog?
They had a lot of the like tour outfits that they performed in. They had some drip. Like genuinely, like they were fucking cool.
ABBA was dripped up.
ABBA was dripped up. They look cool as shit. I also like they had a whole section in the museum dedicated to like not dedicated. It was talking about like the counterculture that came up as a response to ABBA because ABBA was so big. People were like, "Fuck you, ABBA!" Like we're gonna do the complete opposite. And I think it was like, oh fuck, it must have been the early 80s. The late 80s. So it was probably like Sex Pistols was part of like the, I don't know, come up. Because I don't know. Have you ever like read or seen any video? There's a really good video about the inherent like politics at play in Eurovision. It's a really good video essay.
No.
It's crazy. Like the politics that are allowed are just like so specific and they constantly change. And like you're not allowed to say like free Palestine or like, you know, stop the atrocities against the Palestinian people, but you're allowed to, you know, call out instances of like...
they send you out like a rule book of what's the like allowed and not allowed like targets of political statements?
Yeah, literally.
Fucked.
Yeah.
What's the point of it? It's an approved political statement.
Exactly.
I love a good approved protest. I love when the people... who I'm trying to protest, let me do it.
Yep. But there's a really good video. Just look up like, it's either identity politics or gender politics at play in Eurovision. Really cool video. But it's crazy. I don't know. ABBA was huge and they made really good music and then they married each other and then I think it was pretty messy and then
they married each other?
Yeah, they were two couples.
They Fleetwood Mac'd it?
Yeah. Fleetwood Mac is crazy. I don't think people like fully, I mean, music's great. The bullshit that was going on behind the scenes is crazy. Just like imagine getting into a messy kind of public divorce with somebody and then having to go up and perform a song about how much you suck.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's insane.
And you like wrote it together.
Yeah.
So tight.
Hey, so when you were being a bitch in the litigation meetings, I actually wrote this song. It's called Silver Spring.
I had kind of a great idea about that. By the way, if you want to join the Pair of Kings podcast.
Yo, good memory.
Which is the, we have dubbed it the happiest place in fashion. Please message us.
Obama.
Or soda.
Obamna or soda. And it has to have an N in it. O-B-A-M-N-A.
Obamna.
And you can join the podcast.
Yeah.
Not the podcast. You can join the Discord.
You can come on the podcast. First person to message us Obamna, I'll let come on the podcast.
Yeah,
we'll figure it out. We'll work it out. You can come on for a short. I'm dead serious. We'll work this out.
Be the first one.
Yep.
Come hang out.
Yep.
This is for the day ones only.
Day ones.
Obamna.
Good memory, by the way. So, I don't know. We're getting close to wrapping up. I don't have much else to talk about. I need to buy some new jeans.
We are actually going to go jean shopping right now.
Probably. I have my matchas in my bag.
Come jean shopping with me in the Lower East Side.
Fuck no.
If you're looking for a pair of jeans in the Lower East Side, you have got to check out Self Edge. They've got everything you could want. Sugar cane, flathead, samurai. They've even got Rick Owens.
Fucking kill myself. What was I going to say? Oh, I was considering... There's two things about my matchas. First one, I was considering getting them tailored down. That seems like completely defeats the purpose of like the fades, and it would fuck up the fades.
Just wear them shits too big.
They like slip down. They look really shitty with a belt. It does like diaper butt sometimes. If I don't have it like...
I feel like a really beat to shit pair of like straight leg raw denim that's a little bit too big and kind of like belted and folded, kind
of
tight.
Well, again, that's sort of the way that it was, but just because I've been like moving around a lot and not eating over the past like 3 weeks, I just have lost a bunch of weight.
Will you come back to...
Yeah. Okay. No, I'm not throwing them out.
Yeah. But like your weight will fluctuate.
Absolutely.
Don't tailor them. Because then you'll be like, oh, Michael, we have to go buy new jeans after this podcast because I don't fit into my pair that we bought at the last podcast. And also, I tailored the pair that I would have fit into.
Yeah. But the other thing is, I was walking around and my girlfriend's sister's boyfriend was like, do you have dip in your back pocket? Like, what is that? I was like, oh, it's so much lamer because I have the fade ring now for my Invisalign case.
Yo.
It's so fucking dorky.
That's dorky as fuck.
But it looks great. It's a nice fade circle. I'll go grab them and just like show you because I think it's cool. But yeah, fill this dead air real quick.
You're not saying anything.
No, I'm just letting it run. Shout out Rod Denim. Shout out Indigo. Shout out Warp Threads. Shout out Weft Threads especially. You guys are pulling it in a way that people don't realize. Weft Thread makes such a big difference to the community. Shout out Self Edge. Shout out Flathead. Shout out Momotaro. Shout out Japan. Shout out Shuttle Looms. Shout out Toyota for making all the Shuttle Looms.
True.
Shout out the myth that Japan bought all the Shuttle Looms from America because they didn't.
The lighting in here is not great, but you can see the... Yeah, we are.
The Invisalign.
We've reached the...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We've reached the fades on camera.
Wait, yeah, this
the
is...
The pair of kings.
Yeah, these look green as shit on camera. They do look matched. Yeah, that's the Invisalign.
That's the Invisalign.
Right there.
This is the...
Dude, my crotch is just getting fucking cooked.
Yeah,
I've had that repaired now like 2 or 3 times.
They look good. Oh, God.
Thank you.
Oh,
no,
God.
Not my Lugia coin.
This man keeps shit in his pockets for the fades.
I got a travel size stick of sunscreen. I've got a Lugia coin that I got back in like 2003.
You got a 1982 penny.
Yeah, it was a good luck penny. I found that like the first week I was wearing the jeans.
Am I allowed to look through your pockets?
Yeah. And then I've also got a shield from my residential college. Oh, and a bottle cap.
A bottle cap.
Yeah.
Nondescript.
That one. Yeah, I got it with Anna. And I think it looks cool.
Welcome to What's in My Pockets.
If I lost that Lugia coin, I will be find it, really upset.
So it's okay. We'll find it. So we're not doing a bit on the... This is the portion of the podcast where Saul looks under the table for something we dropped.
I will be really upset if you lost that.
You didn't lose it.
I've had that for 20 years.
Where the fuck would it go? We're in an enclosed room.
Okay. Have you ever lost something and it just like went to the ether?
No.
Okay.
Skill
that's happened
issue.
To me.
Just don't lose shit. Just... If you drop something, pick it up from wherever it landed.
I mean, you know, I wish I could, but I've lost things and they just have disappeared. All right, let's wrap it up. Song of the week.
Song of the motherfucking week. Infinity Guitars by Sleigh Bells.
Infinity Guitars?
Infinity Guitars. You'll never guess how many guitars they use on that track.
Two.
Yeah, actually, it's probably bad too.
Let's hear it.
So, do you know Sleigh Bells? You might have heard this.
What movie is this in?
I think it's in like The Bling Ring or some like one of those like cool teenager movies.
Oh, it is in The Bling Ring and yeah, Premium Rush.
So Sleigh Bells walked so that Grimes could run.
Dude, Grimes is just...
Yeah, but whatever. Early Grimes, 2012 Grimes, Oblivion, that shit.
Grimes went crazy.
This album came out like 2 years before that. Okay. And they were doing the girl yelling over grindy guitar shit before that and before St. Vincent. And like they sort of paved the way for... They were the first like... I feel like they were the first like truly cool band doing like this kind of shit. And then... What?
You want to see some real drip real quick?
Yeah, show me real drip.
So we'll talk as we do this. So there is a video online of me in 2009. I got... Oh, wait. Sorry. I don't want like the shitty reverb. So anyway, there's a leaked... Not leaked, but like a fan-made Grimes album of all like the actual good songs that she made.
Yeah.
I think it's called like Book of Grimes. It's on YouTube. It's really quite good. This kid was such a fucking dork. He was cool, though. Anyway. But, yeah, shout out to, like, Book of Grimes, whatever the fuck that, you know.
How is this related to you doing the 2009 U.S. Kids Golf Hole-in-One Challenge?
I don't think you'll be able to find it. I look drippy as hell in here. Anyway.
That's all you had? That's why you brought that up? Unrelated to Grimes?
Well, I was looking for the Book of Grimes. I could send you the link. I thought it was in my liked videos. This is in my liked videos, so... I am going to recommend
Solomon Thompson, first place, yeah. 7 inches to pin.
Hell yeah. Oh, this song.
A fedora?
Oh yeah, dude. I used to That's golf tight. In a fedora. My song is a fucking classic, Wild Night by Van Morrison.
Starting off strong. Also, we gotta give a big shout out. Potentially, we should put this at the beginning of the episode.
Shout out to who?
Sorry. We got to give a big shout out to Morgan. DJ Fuzz. Morgan
huge Kiswet. Fucking shout out to Morgan.
Morgan made... he made the previous...
he did.
So he made the previous theme song. He also made this season's theme song.
Absolutely.
He.
I'll play the whole thing because it'll be... separate.
Yeah.
I don't want to break it up. Oh shit, what the fuck?
Yeah, we'll just, you know, we'll play it out with the remix. Should we close everything out before we do that?
I'd rather play it and we can react. Hold on. I'm trying to find it in our messages. I know I told you to put in the Jersey Club thing. The squeak. I got it. Hold on. I got it here. So thank you so much to Morgan. I'm sorry this is coming so late in the podcast. We should probably talk about Morgan more because this is fucking clutch. He made this, and the only critique I had was it needs the Jersey Club bed squeak. And he put it in, and it's so fucking good.
Oh, it's so fucking
good. It's really fucking good.
This is the Peach Fuzz remix of Dreadlock Holiday by 10cc. Peach Fuzz is his DJ.
Oh, okay, bad. 10cc, didn't they also make I don't want to be in love? I'm not in love.
Oh yeah,
it's a good song. Wait, their lead singer is white?
Yeah.
I guess that tracks. This is so silly, but it's perfect.
He put together, so he made the Bubble Man remix, the submarine one, in like 2 hours. He stayed up all night making this one.
This one fucks. This one's crazy.
Does he? He should put these out on Spotify.
I don't think he's a Spotify. I think he has a SoundCloud. Words, got to show some respect.
It is a bit of a shame that we won't be able to hear the entirety of this more.
Yeah.
I think I'll put it almost in its entirety at the end of episodes.
Yeah.
But, like, it will be chopped slightly. Yeah. Morgan, you absolutely freaked it. Thank you.
Morgan,
genuinely.
You freaked it.
It's so good. It's so good. But, I don't know. What else is going on? I need to fucking close on this apartment. I was going to say, I guess you could dox me. I don't live at that place anymore, but I don't want any problems.
I don't know your address. You never lived there long enough for me to get your address.
That place fucking sucked. I'm sorry. A legal sublet situation is crazy. I got roped into. Anyway, thank you so much to everybody for listening to the Bear of Kings podcast. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. I don't want to say Instagram and X. Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at Pair of Kings Pod.
And the website formerly known as Twitter.
I have not. Fuck our Twitter. You can find us on Threads at Pair of Kings Pod. Is anybody still using Threads?
I used it for a couple weeks. It was really funny.
It was funny. And then, like, everybody just agreed to stop using it.
Yeah. Drifted off.
Who's going to be the big person out of Threads?
Who's going to be Threads famous? Who's going to blow up on Threads?
Do you think we could buy Threads followers?
Who's got more Threads followers than they do Instagram followers?
That's true. 5 sites you can buy Threads followers. What if we just bought 1.5 million followers on Threads? Yeah, what did that run us? Like $10?
What's the worst that can happen? Yeah, that's us.
Yeah. You can find us on Instagram.
We did that.
TikTok,
already.
YouTube, Pair of Kings Pod. Thought that woman just blew a tire. I don't know. Join the Discord. Reach out to us. Message us Obamna to join it.
Obamna.
Thank you. We hope you've enjoyed. We hope you're going to tune in for season 9. We hope you're enjoying all the new different methods or avenues of content.
Watch this space. Big things coming.
Big things coming. There was some like joke. I don't. I'm off track. Anyway, I am your host, Saul Thompson. You can find me on Instagram at Saul Thompson. I'm joined this week by my wonderful co-host.
I'm Michael Smith. You can find me on Instagram at underscore Smithstagram, and you can find me on TikTok at Smithstagram. No underscore.
Yeah. I think you're going to be officially in charge of the Pair of Kings TikTok, by the way.
Oh, good.
Yep.
Let's go hard.
Thank you so much to everybody for listening. As always, this has been the Pair of Kings podcast, where we're bringing you business as usual. Tomfoolery is planned once a week, every week for the foreseeable future. Have a great Thursday. We'll see you next week. And I don't know. Take care. Enjoy this fucking banger by Morgan. Trucking right, I heard a dark voice inside of me, and I looked round in a state of fright. I saw four faces, one mask, a brother from the gutter. They looked me up and down, but they